have sinned it. Lord, we give you our hearts. We open ourselves to you so that you can appear to us and speak to us. Thank the Lord. Let's read 1 John 2:15 to 17. Do not love the world. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Lord, we don't want to trade anything for the love in you. For the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you. You saved us from this world. Do not love the world. Why do we not love the world? Because we are not of this world. We are not of the world. That's what John already said in his Gospel, in the Gospel of John, in John 15. If you were from the world, then the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, but rather I chose you from the world. Do we all have this mindset that we are not of this world? Brothers and sisters, the Lord chose us from this world. He saved us from this world. He even redeemed us from this world. And that's why we don't belong to this world, but we belong to the Lord. That's really an attitude, a mindset that we need. We belong to the Lord. And we don't have anything in this world. And the world has nothing in us. And the Lord gave us an example. He was in this world, but the world had nothing in him. And he also had nothing in this world. He was in the world, but he had no contact with it. He belonged to the Lord entirely. He belonged to the Father entirely. And we also belong entirely to the Father, redeemed by Christ. By his wonderful blood, he redeemed us and bought us from this world, so that we can belong to our Father. This is the foundation upon which we stand. That's why it's so clear that we don't love this world and we shouldn't leave this world, right? Do we love something that we don't belong to at all? I belong to my wife, very freshly, and my wife belongs to me. Of course, I love my wife and she loves me because we belong to each other. And we belong to the Father, and that's why our love and our hearts belong to the Father. Our whole heart, our whole mind, all of our thoughts, what we think about, every day, so many thoughts, so many our strength, what we do, it doesn't belong to this world. It all belongs to the Father. That's really a mindset that we need. We don't belong to this world. We belong to God with our whole being, with our whole everything we are. And God expects that of us, really, He does. God doesn't want just to heal us, but He has determined us to belong to Him. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, God commands that we love Him. Yeah. There it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. This is a command, a commandment that God gave us. It shows what's on God's heart. He wants us to love Him. God's heart desires that we give our entire hearts to Him. If we give God our heart, there's so much can happen. If we give God our heart, then we also give Him our thoughts. Then we also give Him our minds, our bodies, and our strength. All of that belongs to God. And we can see in the church, in Ephesians, in Revelation, this church did a lot of things for God. They really gave themselves for God. They served God. But God doesn't just look at the outer services. I see Simon sitting in front of me outwardly, and Simon sees me outwardly, what I'm doing. But God sees through us. God sees deeper. He sees our heart. God can reveal what is in my heart. He's not just satisfied with what I do for Him outwardly, but He can see our hearts. And so He looked the church of Ephesus into their hearts. And He says, "This I have against you, that you left your first and your best love." That's what God is paying attention to. He wants our entire being. He doesn't want us to be for Him outwardly, that we're here physically in body, but He wants our hearts. And that's why He reprimands and in Ephesus and says, "Repent, give me your whole being." In Colossians 3, it also says that we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And that's why we set our minds on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. Romans 12 says that we give our bodies as a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. And we give our whole heart to the Lord. The Lord Jesus gave us a good example. The enemy came and he wanted to give Him so much. In Matthew chapter 4, he tempted Him. He wanted to give Him all the riches of the world. And what did the Lord answer to Satan? He says, "You should worship the Lord your God. In Him alone you shall serve." The Lord had no connection to this world. Before His eyes, in His mind, He wanted to serve God. He is only here to serve God, only here to worship the Lord, His God. And that's what He did all His life. Often we emphasize that the Lord served us, but first and foremost, the Lord came to please God and to serve God. That's the kind of example and role model that the Lord is for us. And He wants to see that in us, in our life. What are we here for? George, what are you here for? To serve Bosch, the company you work for? I'm not also here to serve here, the school. I work in this school. I am here to worship the Lord my God, and Him alone I shall serve. That is my destination. Satan wants us to serve him. Satan is the prince, or 2 Corinthians 4 says, the god of this age. He rules over this entire world, this whole world, the system of this world, with all of the things that attract our soul, the lust, the pride of life, the vain pride of life, all things, riches, wealth, all of that comes from Satan, from the evil one. Satan is the god of this world, the god of this age. And God wants to bring people to his side, that they worship him, that they serve him. God predestined us to serve him, to worship him. And this whole world is in the hands of the evil one. Right? 1 John 5, verse 19 says that the whole world is in the hand of the wicked one, hand of the evil one, under the sway of the wicked one. We have to see that this whole world, this whole age that we live in, then the vain things of this world are under the sway of the wicked one. They are in the hands of Satan. Oh, Lord, yeah. But we don't belong to Satan. We don't belong to this world. We belong to God. We belong to our Father. And it's not just a matter that has to do with the unbelievers. It also is a matter that has to do with us, the believers. When we read in the last days, we read that in the last days it'll be like in the days of Noah. What happened in Noah? They ate, they drank, they got married, and they didn't pay attention. Is it so bad to get married? Is it so bad to eat? No. But it's a warning for us as Christians. It's not something evil or wicked to do these things. But there shows that there's so much vanity in this world, so much perishableness in this world that has no status. And that's where our heart should not be caught up, that our heart isn't caught up in the vanity of this world. It's a warning for us believers that we set our hearts on what remains in eternity. Whoever loves the world, in him the love of the Father is not. We can't heal ourselves. None of us is able to serve two masters. Either we serve the Lord with all of our heart, with everything we are, or we live in this world. You cannot serve two masters. The word says so, and it's the truth. No one can serve two masters. That's why it's a decision that we have to make again and again. Lord, I give you my being because we belong to you. We have a wonderful song that says, Lord, our hearts we give you now. And how does it continue? That you would gain more room and grow in us. This song is really in my heart, and I speak it to myself and I pray it every day. Lord, I give you my heart that you gain more room in my heart and grow. There's so much competition for my heart, so it's a active choice of me to give my heart to the Lord. The Lord will never just come and take your heart from you. Does the Lord come, Brother Manu, and say, here, I take your heart. It belongs to me now. The Lord doesn't work like that. The Lord wants us to give him our hearts. It's an active attitude, an active mindset to give our hearts to the Lord every day, that we give him our love, our minds, actively, every day, that he gains more room in us, that he can grow in us. There are so many things that we have to take care of every day, so many things we have to do every day. We live in this world, we walk in this world, and the world wants to take control over us. So often I tell the Lord, Lord, my heart does not belong to this matter. I have to work here. And so quickly, the work wants to control my heart, control my thoughts. And I cleanse myself from this often, and I say, my thoughts do not belong in the world, but my thoughts belong to you. I serve you. I don't serve work, but I serve the Lord. We really have to do this actively. It also continues on in 1 John 2:17. The world is passing away, and we need this before our eyes all the time. It's such a huge salvation for me to see in the last years that this world is passing away. I work here in the school where we're meeting, and 3 months ago, I got a new boss. And she asked me, so what are your goals here at work? What do you want to achieve here as working here in the school? And I told her, I'm a believer, and I expect, my expectations is that the Lord Jesus is going to come back soon, and that's my highest priority, and that's what I give everything for. And then I told her, but so that you're not worried, but I will do my work well here at this school. Don't be worried. I will still be a good employee. We belong to the Lord. When he said, but you have to have some sort of goals here in your job. But my goal is one and only to be prepared when the Lord comes back. Because we use this world as if we don't need it. I work here, but my heart does not live here, dwell here, because the world is passing away. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that we can see that so clearly in these last years. Brothers and sisters, this saved my heart so often. I see how the Word of God, with all of the signs that the Lord gave us, they are being fulfilled before our very eyes. This time and age is going to end, maybe in a year already. The signs of times are being fulfilled. This world is passing away, and that saves my heart. That saves my heart that I turn to the Lord. That saves my heart that I gave my heart to the Lord, that I cleanse my heart, that my whole focus and concentration is on the Lord. It's so wonderful. Before our very eyes, we see how the democracy is shattering. And it's a sign that the next time and age is ushering in, that the millennial kingdom is ushering in. Maybe in a year, it will begin. The end of democracy is here. If you look at the world, if you look at the politics, if you look at the media, there are proofs that Daniel 2 has been fulfilled. The fall of morality in society is there. It's like the days of Lot. It's such a clear sign that the Lord is coming. It's so wonderful that we can see all of this, that the Lord shows us all of this. And this world will really go down with a bang. Isaiah and Joel talked about how the world will end. I will read to you how the world will end in Isaiah 24, verse 19. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. This is what will happen. Maybe in a couple of years, this will happen on here, in this earth. The world is passing away and its lust, John says, and it will be violently broken. Already Isaiah was talking about this time, or Joel, to get a little bit of an impression of how this world is going to end. Maybe somebody can read it. Joel 1, 1 and 2. Joel 1, or is it 2? Chapter 2, Joel 2, 1 and 2. Blow in the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. These are descriptions of things that will happen soon. Let that just settle in for a moment. Think about that. What we are reading here, this will happen soon. Also, 2 Peter, just recently, we've had a lot of fellowship about 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3, verse 7, It says, the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That was 2 Peter 3, verse 7. We have to see this before our eyes. We need to keep this in front of our eyes. Or verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. This is what John means when he says the world is passing away. This is how it's going to be when the world passes away, when the world ends, and it will happen soon. Do we still now want to have our hearts caught up in this world? Do we still want to invest in this world? When soon everything's going to be shaken, violently broken, burning up as it has never done before? We need to set our hearts free from everything in this world and give our hearts completely to the Lord. If we see all of this, then there's only one way for us to move forward. Let us give ourselves completely to the Lord. Let us do the will of God. Because John says, he who does the will of God abides in eternity. Do we want to abide in eternity? Or do we want to be destroyed with this world? I want to abide into eternity. So therefore, let us do the will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is that we serve God our Father with our whole hearts, with all of our minds, with everything we are. And God shows us in all the scripture how to worship Him. We worship Him. We sanctify Him. In Revelation 2:20, in Revelation 20, we see what remains in the end. Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They shall be priests of God and Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If we want to know what abides, this is it. What does God want to have in the future? What does God's kingdom look like in the future? What does the millennial kingdom look like? It's a kingdom of priests. Priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Here we see what the will of God is. Here we see what will abide in eternity. Here we see what will remain in the next age. A people of priests. And that's what we are being prepared for. Today, we want to be a people of priests. And this isn't something that will happen in the future only. We need to see and recognize this is God's will from the beginning of the scripture till the very end. What God wants is a kingdom full of priests. He never changed this desire, and he will receive it with us today. That's why the worship is so important. Cain and Abel already worshiped God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all worshiped God. They all gave God the glory and honor. They serve God through worship with sacrifices and offerings. And then God received a people, and to these people in Deuteronomy, he said, you are a people of kings and priests. The people of Israel was determined to worship God, to serve him priestly, to give God the glory, to give God the honor with your entire beings. That was the destination, the predestination of God's people, and that is our purpose today. And it's really something that we need to see. That's why it's not about thinking this is right or this is wrong. It's about your heart. Do we want to give God the honor and the glory and the worship? Are we people who have a desire to satisfy God? To give him a sweet-smelling fragrance? brothers and sisters, this is my burden, and I'm sure it's a burden of the Lord today, that we as priests come to perfection, that we increase in the priestly service. It's not just about a practice, or it's about my attitude that I love the Lord. We sacrifice to the Father with Christ, but our attitude should be, Father, I want to please you. Father, is my offering a sweet-smelling fragrance for you? That should be our attitude, and that will bring us to perfection, to gain the Lord more, to seek the Lord more, that we can be a people of kings and priests, because that will abide forever. That is the will of God. Praise the Lord. That's why He saved us. Saved us from this age, from this world, of everything that is passing away, saved to do His will, to serve Him, and to stand before Him. Amen. Praise